It's almost another
shorter, but things that they send out. So, what's the story on? Are we regular time?
We can. Yeah, I'm not sure exactly.
Usually, they used to have like a.
Like a program in the morning.
Yeah, sometimes I would speak in that, but I was not. It doesn't make
sense.
Okay, so we'll figure out the times. We'll send it back. Yeah. I'm saying, is it 11 o'clock on Thursday, or is something else happening?
No, there's something else. There's a program that they're having in the morning.
Okay.
Q&A, and then a cheer, and then lunch. And
oh. So when are we still? Is there still time?
Yeah, I mean, I think Rebbe, if Rebbe wants to be a cheer in the middle, during the Q&A or during.
Yeah, I want to take away from,
there's no class that day.
Yes, yeah, so
there's no afternoon classes.
Oh, there's no college.
Yeah. So we can have cheer at 1 for that first day.
Okay, so let's do that. Yeah, I don't want to take away if they have other programming. I'm happy to support. I just don't know what it is exactly. But, what? Yeah.
So the sure. Something.
And you're also, I understand, you're also going to give share?
So
Rabbi,
the Shabbaton just starts on Thursday.
Right.
Yeah,
that sounds good. That sounds good. You have to speak to Avrami about that. But also, we don't use that word. Otherwise we're out, right?
Oh, we don't use Thursday.
Shabbaton.
I thought we're not allowed to say Shabbaton, right? Was that one of the conditions or something? That doesn't come from me.
No,
not at all. Okay, but Okay, so let's assume the shiur on Thursday will be at 1 o'clock. That sounds good. That doesn't interfere with any of the programming. Okay, let's assume 1 o'clock. Good. Okay, so let's get back to where we were. And we'll talk a little bit more about virtual shop. Before we do that, a couple of quick points. Oh, firstly, I never got back to the nesivas because there seemed to be some question about it. So let me just bring out the points of the nesivas for a minute. And then I want to talk about a little bit more about Marakama. And then I want to get back to the question of Chazaka v'makom shtar ka'asi. Yeah. So the ritva on the record, the nesivas on the record, addressing the question of tvisa and metalplin, in the metalplin, why there should be a distinction between tvisa's metalplin and cheskas karka. And as I said, it's basically what we said, but I just wanted to highlight a couple of points inside just very quickly, because we didn't get a chance to read it. If somebody has it, Binny, you have it?
Yes.
So it's Kuf Mem, Sif Katan Beis. Yeah. Right, it starts by quoting the Sma. He thinks that it's Bedokak, which it certainly is, but either way, it's a very interesting shot. Yeah? And then he says, Nir Lafiani Estaiti, how did that?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Whoa, one second. Yeah, go ahead, I'm sorry, I'm with him, yeah. Yes, he's asking on the Tshuva Sarajva, correct?
Yeah.
The Tshuva Sarajva. Unlike the Rajba himself here in the Chidushim, concludes like the Rajbam and the Ra'ah that you don't need a Shavuos Hasas for Navachavaka, but instead of saying B'makom Edim or Kindakat Shtar B'yadei or the suggestion of the Rosh that is Nidcha or the suggestion of the Bach, which is Nidcha, or my suggestion, which is the relationship between Chazaka and, or maybe, it's hard, could work with that. And Tvisa, he has just, this focus on the language of, the strength of the proof, right? I mean, how compelling it is that the language of Chazaka is significant. Go ahead.
finish that task.
Yeah, meaning like, what does that mean, he's saying? Why is it any better than Tisa? So here's where you get the this idea about Korchap, Sarkul Chalek. So here is where he makes the ha'ara, you know, that there's a difference between a you know, a motzi mechaber olav araya tfisa, you know, kind of a solution which triggers a requirement of heses in addition, right, because it's less than sufficient certainty, and therefore there's still room for that, as opposed to tfisas metaltalin, you know, where again, tfisas metaltalin has, you know, that level of uncertainty, as opposed to shtikas marakama, which is considered to be a riot status of greater you know, suasiveness, I guess. It's more persuasive, it's more more of a birur. Let's say one is more of a hachra'a or a status quo, the other is more of a birur, and therefore it doesn't require heses. What's also interesting is the comparison that he makes. He is Shlomar. Yeah, I don't like so much the Nitkina part. I mean, again, it's fine. You can use that language, but to me, it isn't like, you know, like, you know, when were they? It's not like a technical question. They were metaking here. They were metaking there. You know, it's more of a, I think it's a little bit distracted to use the word nitkana because it has that connotation. The bigger question is, you know, that qualitatively, at least I think this is what he said, at least that's what I would say, that qualitatively, you know, these work differently, and both, you know, whether it's quantitative or especially qualitative, you know, the impact is that there's no room for heses. Just like there's no room for heses in a migu, you know, all things being equal, you know, etc. And then the raya, you know, I think is very important, and especially very resonant, right, to us. Gahabini kamo. Exactly. Which again, cheskas toksmano, which the pashtus of the Gemara, and you know, for 95% of the Rishonim and Poskim. Right, there's also no Shuas Heses, although we saw there are some Itur, this, that, there are some echoes of being Cholek, but that's because it's a very, very compelling, you know, Rov or Chazaka. Okay, so to compare it to that, you know, especially for us, is interesting. Okay, Vihine, then comes but the problem of all this is, that again, if you just stopped right here and you were trying to explain the Rajba, right, or any shita that is mechalek between tfisas metalton and cheskas karka, you would have a much easier time of it, right? Because that's the end of the story, you know. And again, I think the other ones work equally well, you know. The virtual shtar, the chazaka versus, you know, tfisa, even as a, you know, even as a status, the, you know, all those, you know, the rush, the bach, a little less so, but whatever. But the point is that any of them, any of these five or whatever it is, explanations of the difference, you know, between these two circumstances, are good. The problem with the Shulchan Aruch, you know, a little bit the problem with what we were trying to also explain yesterday, you know, in the Rambam, you know, if indeed there's a chiluk, you know, that sometimes Marukama yes and sometimes not, and if, you know, Marukama wins, and sometimes when Machzik wins, sometimes yes and sometimes not. So the problem with that is that, you know, you can't draw a hard, clear line, you know, and say, oh, you know, Cheskas Karka versus Tfisas, you know, Metaltalin. You know, so that's where it becomes more complicated. He's also, you know, getting paid, I'm joking about that, you know, to explain the Shulchan Aruch, right? So he's not writing a, you know, a justification of Tshuva Sarajva, right? So if he's going to address this seeming stira in the Shulchan Aruch, and this is already his approach, so basically he's going to have to come up, right, with two dinim, or two paradigms, two separate paradigms of Cheskas Karka, you know, itself. You know, one of which is, you know, close to Tisus Metaltalin, and the other of which, you know, is a more formidable one based on Shtikas, you know, Marakam. You know, so to do that, you know, go ahead. Now, this is actually really interesting too. Like, to me, it's always fascinating. Like, the, you know, the more you can get into the mindset or the, you know, the thinking of the of, you know, the great, you know, members of the Chachmei HaMesora, because like the first time I read this, or first few times, you know, it always troubled me because, like, even when I presented, you know, this factor, when we were talking about Lefikach, right? We're talking about, you know, on the one hand, a metaltalin is just a din, you know, in status quo, tfisa, like, you know, you physically control it. And therefore, for me to take it away from you, or for anybody to take away from you, the burden of proof is on them. They want to change the status quo. And then I think then I was presenting also, based on, and then there's also this Gemara in Shavuos, you know, aksuke inchi begazlanusa lo mechazkinan. Right? This isn't just about status quo. It's also a little bit like, you know, there's a bit of a svara there. Like, there's a bit of a biror there. Meaning, we don't assume people are gazlanim. Right? You know, that's, you know, and therefore, if something is in my rishus, it's likely I'm the owner. Again, is that an idealistic, you know, adopting an idealistic, you know, posture, you know, in the halachic context? Yes. You know, and that's good. That's part of, you know, what's inspirational. So, aksuke begazlanusa lo mechazkinan, as opposed to physical tvisa, is not a factor which per se supports, you know, heses. Right? So that's why it always troubled me, like, and especially as we see, you know, this is going to be, you know, the cheskas karka, you know, heses, you know, case. It's going to be the lower one. But there's something jarring about that. But if you look very carefully, the Nesivus knew exactly what, of course, knew what he was doing. So the Nesivus says, right, vihine, you know, even saying vihine is a little bit like putting you on notice. Right, b'metalpa mafilu toin gazalto ganafta aftak suki began v'lo mechazkinan mikol mokom nitkena shvuas heses keneged chazaka zim. So he's really saying, he's acknowledging everything I just said, which is the factor of achzuke, you know, lo mechazkinan, is actually, you know, something that gets tfisas metaltalin closer to, you know, where he wants, you know, cheskas karka, you know, in a classical case, in Shum Sarazza case, to be. You know, so if that's the case, isn't this going to end up at cross purposes? The answer is no. It is closer, but it's still, you know, not, you know, completely, you know, disconnected from the physical tisa part of it, and therefore, you know, it's still not comparable to the equivalent of shtikas marakam. So he's saying, and by the way, even when you know, the issue is he or isn't he a gazlan, you're still going to have to take a hesis. Even though it's closer to being a biror, it's still not enough of a biror. It's still, you know, a small biror or mostly a, you know, a hachra. And therefore, and that's the construction here, and therefore, if I need that, you know, to apply that as my, you know, lower paradigm of cheskas karka, right, you know, to justify, you know, how there can be heses within cheskas karka, and at the same time, you know, gain the benefit, as we'll see in a moment, of this kind of, you know, negating the shtikas marakama as a positive factor, then, you know, then ingeniously, you know, this is going to work for me, or for us. Okay. So that, I just thought, you know, it's worth kind of, go ahead, ulefizeh. Well, this is, of course, a huge assumption, right? I mean, once there's a charge of gzela, and it's an assumption which I think, well, we know. I mean, anybody who disagrees with this fact thinks that it's not true, right? And the pashtus of the Gemara, you know, is that imacha and all that always applies, even in cases where the guy is being accused of zayla. But is there a svara to what he's saying? You know, at least to moderate it more, or maybe even to eliminate that part of it. Sure. So im emes shegzela shuv leikareis of lamicha. Why the gazlan and yachalimchos diyarim imenu? Okay. I mean, I'm quiet because if you're such a dastardly, fellow, then, I don't necessarily want to start up with you, right? My silence, on the one hand, in face of the provocation of Gazela, my silence is more problematic. On the other hand, once you put the fear factor in, right? And this, of course, is on a human nature level, both of these things are totally true. So the Nesivas here, is emphasizing the second one. Kimavuar, go ahead. So that's where he, that's kind of the do you believe that this is what the, two Seifim in the Shulchan Aruch actually are about? I don't know, but as a great perspective on like a way to split up even within Cheskas, Gimel Shanim, right, two paradigms, it's amazing, right? So when there's, of course, the assumption also is that even the idea of Akazuke v'gazon v'salom v'chazkina, that applies, there's also an assumption that applies to chazkas karka at all, right? Maybe that's only true when you have to physically, take something and put it in your pocket, or, move it away from the owner, etc. So there's also that assumption in the Nesivas. But again, let's remember that the Nesivas is working, all the Mefarshim here are working with a objective, difficulty. Like you have this very, very strange, Sif base, in light of Sif Aleph, and, everybody's trying to figure it out. So it's not like, they're contriving, solutions. They're doing the best they can to solve an almost, insoluble, problem. Okay, but what emerges is very, even if you don't accept some of the assumptions, there's so much here that's useful and that's like insightful, to the issues that we're talking about. Okay, and then he adds just, for good measure, Vidino Darajba, Vichuba, which is also interesting. Shehu Mara Dahaidina Shemevi Besipes, base. I mean, he's assuming, that what motivates the Shulchan Aruch and Sipes is that Dafka the Chuvas Arajba. There could be other models, as we know. Yeah.
It's the language of the Cherem, I think, was in one of those Rashbas specifically.
Because he says in another way, Cherem Sam?
Yeah, there's like one of the Shad Rashbas. Like,
but is it Elef Kuf Samach Aleph?
No, it's a different one. It's a different one.
Oh, that's interesting. So, I mean, maybe projecting it to the person, even though it's not. Because in different places, as we know, the Rashba says different things, including Lamed Gimel Omed Aleph, where he clearly requires Shoseses. But yeah, I think it's just very interesting, and it so happens that Myri, the Einatoni, that happens to be a case where there's no Tainus Gezela. But to assume, that's what the Shulchan Aruch is in mind, and, Tumas Rashba is who he's talking about, even if he is talking about Yesh Kolkin, there are so many other perspectives. Very interesting. Okay. Rak betaina shudumya, which is the kid. The schiru sumashkuna. Kim mevur b'divrei. The yesh bazeh, go ahead. Meaning, right. Ein tzarch b'shava, right. Because of the language chazaka, meaning it's stronger. Okay. Now, once you get to that, so then you're like, So, like, why isn't this a little bit more explicit? You know, the Hodelo Pirish. It's like his way of saying, listen, what do you want from me? You know, the Shulchan Aruch, if assuming the Shulchan Aruch wrote a stira, you know, so it's obvious to everybody that the Metzias is different. You know, so the fact that he didn't extricate it is beside the point. It's implicit that we're dealing with different circumstances because he's presenting, you know, otherwise it would be contradictory. Yeah. Yeah, saying, listen, I'm fighting the good fight, and then he talks about other things, about, you know, whether you're towing the metalfilin or the payment or the karka. It's also very interesting, but not for us in the moment. But basically what the Nesivos is saying is, I poured all this mental energy, you know, into fighting the good fight, to justify a very difficult mechaber, you know, in the end of the day, you know, that doesn't mean we paskin like that. Okay, we'll go with the shach and require hesis no matter what. Okay, so that's just, I just thought that the way that he structures it and what he bases it on and some of the assumptions are worth fleshing out. That's point number one. Number two that I wanted to talk about very quickly is, so again, we spoke about the relative strength. We've been speaking about the relative strength of two. Yeah.
Rabbi just said that we'll go like the shach. Does that mean, is it Rabbi saying, well, the Maaseh, we don't know what the Shulchan Aruch means, so we can pass in like the Shach L'Chumrah? Or is that how we hold it?
I guess you could say one of two things. It's hard to know. I mean, first of all, typically, put it this way. You could say one of two things. You could say, number one, this is a very, very difficult Mechaber, you know, and therefore, even if we think that's what he meant, you know, it strains credibility that we should pass in this way. And since the Shach doesn't paskin this way, we paskin like the Shach. That's one way to say it. I think the other way to say it is, you know, going back to how the Nesivos kind of formulated the problem, which was, oh, the Sma thinks that there's a stira in the Shulchan Aruch, right? The Sma, you know, subsequently provides a very dochak, you know, explanation for this. If we're going to go that route, meaning if the Sma is right, that the Mechaber is Soser himself, or seems to be Soser himself, and that you have to make a distinction, I have a better distinction to make. However, you know, we should maybe go with the Shach, not over the Shulchan Aruch, but who's probably assuming, like the Taz and others, and Bach and so on, that there is no stira in the Shulchan Aruch, and that's how we should pass. Not that we abandon this Shulchan Aruch for a Shach because it's, you know, a very difficult Shulchan Aruch, or that the Shach is the more mainstream view of the Rishonim, that's one way, right? But that, you know, this is all within the worldview of the Sma, who thinks that both Mechabers are talking about this question. There is another way, and that is to say that that's not what the Shulchan Aruch meant in Sif Beis. You know, and that, you know, maybe is what the Shach really has in mind, certainly what others have in mind, and therefore we're sticking with the Mechaber, you know, but with the, you know, with a different understanding to begin with. All right? Yeah, it's a good question methodologically. And, you know, in the world of halacha lemaisa, you know, since that's kind of what you're asking, both of those phenomena are encountered. I mean, sometimes, you know, again, typically you paskin like, you know, the Mechaber or the Rama or whatever it is, and the, you know, the poskim and Shulchan Aruch are mefarshim on them. But, you know, when you have a particularly difficult psak, especially in light of the Rishonim and the Gemaras, you know, sometimes you will, you know, you'll adopt, you know, the view, you know, of a later posek instead, or, you know, you'll accept the interpretation of the later posek that, you know, that's, you know, that the Mechaber or the Rama or whatever is not really at odds after all. So I'm saying you do find a lot of both of those, you know, precedents. Okay, So let's talk about one other thing, or a couple of other things for a moment. So when we were talking about Marikama and Machzik, right, we were talking about, you know, how decisive are the margins of victory and so on, and the effect that that has on, you know, things like Hesses in either direction, right? Meaning in either direction, you know, if you win, you know, the margins are a function of, you know, both the suasiveness of the winning argument or the winning factor, as well as, you know, the extent to which it then, you know, neutralizes, you know, the impact of the defeated position. Right? Okay. And that, of course, is something that we saw also in analyzing a little bit more yesterday, but also in the Sma earlier and in the Bach. You know, like, will there be a Hesses? Maybe it depends how, whether the Machzik takes a Hesses, you know, according to the Bach, will depend, you know, on how strong his clay, his Muchzakus is, but also on how weak, you know, the Marikama's, you know, is. And, you know, and the same is true, you know, in the Sma, you know, for the Shulchan Aruch. So, you know, this question of relative strength is a very interesting issue. And affects Hesses, you know, both, you know, the strength of Marikama and the strength of Machzik affects Hesses in both cases. And then, of course, we had a little bit of a discussion about Kol, you know, being like a parallel. Like, can Kol undermine, you know, Cheskas Gimel Shana? Right? And the Rishonim a little bit on, and there's much more, Lamed Gimel Amunah. Oh. So it's interesting also to think about, in light of this, you know, just a little bit more, like, what is the basis? Just like, you know, we are spending time, and we're going to spend more time, on, like, the Koach HaMachzik, like, cases where the Machzik wins because there's no real basis for the Marikama, so even if he's not there, Gimel Shanim, you know, that's fine. Right? And then, of course, there are cases, you know, where you need the Gimel Shanim to, you know, override the Marikama, you know, and to win. So, too, and the question is, are they all the same? I mean, victory is the same, but if the basis of the victory or the strength of the victory, the margins of the victory is different, so maybe they're nafka mina in things like Hesses or things like overriding Kol, etc., etc. So too, when it comes to, you know, Marikama as a factor, Bain in a situation where he wins, Bain in a situation where he loses, and the question is, you know, whether there's still a reason to impose things like Hesses, or if other factors will then play a role in overturning that, right? We should be thinking, you know, about what it is that establishes Marikama status. And this is true, you know, Bain Bakarka, Bain Bemetalkalin, Bain Bavadin, frankly. So, both in terms of, you know, establishing it when he wins, whether he, when he wins, wins decisively enough that he doesn't have to make a Hesses, B. You know, whether the decisiveness of the victory against him when he loses, you know, is such, you know, that the Machzik will have to take a Hesses, right? In all those circumstances, we should also weigh, you know, how he becomes or how he establishes his Marikamaship. Ah. So classically, how he establishes Marikamaship, Yossi, is how?
So there are two ways. Either you have Aiden that he was Darbe Bishofi for one day.
Okay.
Or the Hudah of Machzik.
Not just Darbe, but okay.
That he used the Bishofi for one day, or the Hudah of the Machzik establishing the Marikama.
Oh. So let's say, let's try to analyze it. So one way is through Aiden, basically, and the other way is through the Hodah of the Machzik. Okay. Now the Hodah of the Machzik, you know, is also connected up with another problem, and that's the issue of Migu. Right, so we're going to, you know, leave that for the moment. But certainly, He becomes a marakam on either of those two ways. But the question is as follows. Let's say you don't have Edim that he has a kinyan. You only have Edim that he, you know, lived there, you know, in a way, you know, that, as you say, Bishofi, he lived there like an owner. Right, is that enough? That's an interesting question. Let's say you don't have that either. Let's say, but you have a kind of a call, you know, that, you know, establishes him, you know, as an owner. A kol mavurar, we'll call it for the moment. Right? Let's say you have a kol, you know, she'ena mavurar. Meaning, if you don't have Edim that he was the actual bailim over the karka, or the acknowledgement of the machzik, you have something less than that. A, does he really become marakama? B, even if he does become marakama, does that, you know, lesser foundation have impact on either, you know, his ability to win, or his ability when he wins, you know, not to have to take a heses, or the, you know, impact on the machzik when he wins, whether he has to take a heses. Because let's say the machzik wins, you know, but if the, you know, basis of even the marakamaship to begin with was weaker, you know, maybe that's a factor. In so just, you know, to talk about that for a minute. Yeah. So the Rambam in Perek Yud Aleph Halacha Aleph and the Shulchan Aruch and Simin Kuf Mem Aleph, right, definitely emphasize, you know, Eidus. And Eidus on the Kenyan, or that he was actually Bailin. You just don't know 100% what that means. Right? Kolakakos Eidus Labalayan. What does it mean, Yiduos Labalayan? That's the. So then, Alpha Pishane Atatakas Leachem and Bechaskas Labalayan. If all we had was the formulation of Yiduos Labalayan, which again is something the Rambam uses, Perikhes and Perikid as well. So the possibility that Yiduos Labalayan can come about, you know, by other means, you know, through a kind of muchzakus of its own, you know, machzik bakid and mechazki ba'inch, right? Or maybe even through like a call, and then what level call? That becomes something to think about. Now the Rambam, when he says ketsa, it says Ruvain shay b'shtamish b'chatzer, kedera shay b'shtamish b'chatzer osayim. Again, Ruvain for the Rambam here is the machzik. Dorba, the socha lachem, rubonu the socha, the achazman, ba shimo, beton, yama, lachatzer, shatachatzatka shalim, skur, biadcha, o shulo gazula, the shiva ruvain, shel chahaisa, yata makartali, onasatali, the matana. Right? So you have the acknowledgement, and then the Rambam says, im ein edim le shimon, shahaisa yadualo. Right? Nishba ruvain, heses, biyamo, bimakoma. Right? Because he's the only, you know, that's the Miku. So according to the Rambam, you have, you know, in terms of establishing him as a Marakama, in this case it doesn't work because of the Miku, but it's either the Hoda'a or Edim Shehoisa Yiduelo. But what does Yiduelo mean? Right? Abal Shimon Edim Shechotza Zu Shalohaisa. That's the other side. Not Yadu'ala, but Hoysa Shalom, Edim Shahoysa Shalom. Right? So that leaves ambiguous, you know, this question, what if they're Edim, that he was Darbe, you know, Kabilin. Right? So, and that this is clearly a discussion in the Mishonim later on, in Parak. And just if you look in the Shulchan Aruch Al-Atar, you have a little acknowledgement of this. Again, it's a much bigger topic. I just want to, you know, use it as an example and get it in on the record. But it really comes from the Darkei Moshe on the tour in Simin Kuf Mem, as an Asibus correctly points out, and also as the Sma points out, right, the Darkei Moshe here, again, Shulchan Aruch, the tour describes Eidos. Afal Bishadim Neman Liton Nom Taltin Shubiyada Lukuchim Biyadi, Karka Becheskas Baleim Amedesh, Karka Hayadua Leruvein Be'edim Shiyodim Shahaya Becheskaso, Afiliyomecha. Becheskaso or Bebalusa, what does that mean? Ruato Becheskashim or Maksik, etc. So the Darkei Moshe says, Becheskaso Rajma Bechuba, Dimein Edim Rakol, Lo Tzorech Hazaka. The Ein Kol Motzi Midei Hazaka. If there's no Edim that he was the Marakama, you only have a Kol, right? Kol is not Motzi Midei Hazaka, and if you don't need Gimel Shana, meaning even if Shimon, let's say, the Machzik, is not there, Gimel Shanim, you can't take away his chazaka koldehu, let's call it, you know, on the basis of a call. Aval, but Shubas Arash, Kal Tzadites, Kasav Dima Kol Barur, Mukminen and Chasid Bechaz Kasev. So, is that a machlokas between the Raj? It sounds like the Darkei Moshe is adjusting the Rajba and the Rush so that they don't argue with each other. And it's being machalik between a Kol Barur, right? And stomachal. So if you look in the Sma here, he starts with this. He says, "Karka yidua b'labein be'edim shel yodim, ken kosu b'tshuvas haraj." But afilim ein, the Raj was explicit. Afilim ein edim yodim bevadai shehoisa shel Ruvain ela shara ule Ruvain ola aviv darbo. Just pashtas. And then he adds, "V'hu adinim yeshlo kol beburar shehu shalo harash b'tshuva, Darkei Moshe, machzikin osam b'shalo motzin osam yad hasheni, ad shielo cheskas gimel shanim." If you look at the Nesivos, he makes this ha'ara also. He says, "Ayin sma, ayin Darkei Moshe, sheyishe b'zeh shelo yachlok tshuvas harash and tshuvas harajba, because of harajba ma'iri b'kol she'ena beburar." Barash, Mayri become Bavura. Ba'im b'tshuvas Harash, the Mayri become Bavura. Question is the Rajba, you know, dealing only with Kol, She'ena Mavura. Right. Shemedama Hasam Lesoklin ala Chazakos. Ayin Shayim Muchsak b'kala Olam Shu Shalom. Aval Kala Bialma Lo Mahani Kidamuchachla Harajba Mirava Bar Shirsha. Rajba, etc. Okay, fine. So he also wants to prove this from the Rajba on Lamed Gimel Lamed Aleph and Rab Bar Shirshum that we already discussed. But we're dealing with two different questions. The Rab Bar Shirshum question is whether you have a kol, which is discussed in Rishonim, is what happens if you have a kol neged cheskas gimel shanim of the machzik. Right? Not a call that he was Marakam. A call, right, that what you are claiming is Cheskas Gimel Shanim, you know, is not really Cheskas Gimel Shanim at all. The Nesivos is comparing that to a call, whether a call can generate, to begin with, a status of Marakam. So just to sum up, I think this is like a really interesting question that we need to keep an eye out, you know, as you learn this parak. In other words, I think there are like gradations of this question. Number one, what establishes a marakama? Right? Eidus, that he was the actual owner, it's one level. Eidus, that darbe, you know, kidemakaskiba inchi, a much lower level, right? What about a, you know, chazaka, you know, livurar, let's say, of the level of, you know, soklin al yado, that kind of a chazaka? What about that? What about a chazaka, not mavurar, but shena mavurar? Much less. And that might be machlokas harishonim. The Darkei Moshe is trying to harmonize, you know, the Tshuva Sarajva and the Tshuva Sarash. Is the status of kol in establishing marakama identical to the status of kol in overriding Cheskas Gimel Shani? That's something of the Nesivos by quoting the Rajba on Rabba Bar Shirshum, you know, is assuming is the same. That's a simple one. So these are questions that have to do with establishing marakama to begin with. But they also could be issues, and that's where you get to the bach and the sma that we saw previously. And that is that how you establish your marakama, you know, whether it's Eidus Gemura or, you know, Hodas Hamachzik, or, you know, different levels of kol, even if they do establish marakama, the idea that, you know, that dictates, you know, whether the marakama, when he wins, also doesn't have to take a hesis, or when the machzik wins, where whether he is even obligated to take a hesis, you know, could be an issue. But when you take a step back and you think about the bigger question, like, should you, or let's say we've come to the conclusion, which I think is fair, that there's like a broad machlokes, like, what does it take to establish marakama? Right? Is that easily established, or does it require the highest or most rigorous, you know, level of proof? What does that say, you know, about marakama, you know, itself? Yeah. Say again, I'm not here.
Is this as relevant to the other shikos besides the Rambam that kind of focus more on like certain relevant points? They kind of take for granted.
Meaning, if I understand what you're asking, is this would be particularly what I'm asking right now might be particularly like an acute question for the Rambam. The way I'm describing the Rambam, I assume you mean. Is that what you mean? Meaning, where it's this constant, where the margins are really, really narrow, and whether you get muksakos or not is like, you know. You know, you're like, you know, what's he saying, what's his level, as opposed to maybe other Rishonim who think that everything is just way more, you know, decisive one way or another. So you're saying if the margins are really narrow and it can go either way, you know, then these particular details, like what establishes your chazaka and what establishes your marakama, you know, are going to be maybe even decisive factors, you know, kol shekein, that they could also end up affecting, you know, the Hesis question or things of that sort. But if you hold like other Rishonim, that things are much more decisive, so then it's probably less likely. Don't you know what you're saying? I think that makes sense. I would only just kind of add that I think there's another factor that's a little also parallel to our discussion about, like, you know, Hesis and Hesis Bakarka, you know, things like that. And that is, like, on the one hand, if you think marakama in karka, you know, well, let me say it this way. In this question, Gufa, when you raise a question, like, is there a difference between establishing a marakama in metaltalin, you know, as opposed to karka? With, let's say, avadim, you know, being something, you know, in the middle? The answer, again, just, you know, based on the thing that we saw, whether it's in terms of establishing him for when he wins, or establishing, again, this, you know, this other question of Hesis, you know, based on things that we've discussed, could be. But I think the question to think about more also is that where I think that it's less clear. I like what you said, but what I want to add as a separate but kind of parallel question is, the more you think marakama is like a very powerful, you know, institution, the less it takes to establish it, or for it to be a powerful institution, you need a more rigorous, you know, basis to begin with. That I'm not sure about. That's something I think, you know, to think about. And then you might really also, based on that, be mechalik in the direction between, oh, the marakama that you require, you know, in Metalpalin, let's say for Dharmasu, Lahash, Lahaskir, Gondros, etc., you know, is different than the level required to establish marakama in Karaka. But in which direction? You know, you need less because just being a marakama or the claim of marakama, you know, itself is just so powerful. Or no, for it to be powerful, you know, it really needs to be on a pedestal, you know, like the rigor of the establishing it needs to be greater. That I'm not sure about. Those questions. Yeah.
In the Rebbe Bar Shashim case, what kind of role does it kind of say that it's not the marakama?
I think the kol there is this, you know, this is the yisomim, and it's not a problem. It's a kol against cheskes kibushani.
Wouldn't you say that that's a kol about marakama and that the yisomim?
Well, there already was marakama in that chazaka. I think that's why I say I think the nesida slipped something in here, which I totally understand, but which I'm, you know, suggesting is a little, you know, mechudash, and then nitan. You know, lachlo kala, and that is that the question that the nesivas, the sma, the darke moshe, the chuvas arash, the chuvas arash, what they're dealing with is like, what does it take to be established as a marakama? And mostly, I'm adding these other satellite issues like, you know, hesis and so on, hesis for the victor, hesis for the, you know, whatever, but not hesis for the, you know, whatever, always hesis for the victor, but whatever. But what they're talking about is like, to begin with, you know, forget about Gimel, you don't have Chesed Gimel Shah, but let's say to establish somebody as Marakama, can you do that, you know, with less than Eidos said he's the Bailin? Can you do that even with a call? Can you do that even with a flimsier call? You know, in other words, to combat, let's say, you know, a less than Chesed Gimel Shah, you know, in a case where marakama will win. That's there. That's what they're talking about. The Nesivas is trying to equate that with the Gemara's case, where the Yisomim, that there's marakama was clear, which is why in the Shulchan Aruch, the question is, do you need Gimel Shanim? Right? Because if there's no established clear marakama, there's just a claim of marakama, then you don't even need Gimel Shanim. That's the Shulchan Aruch issue. Or the poskim in Shulchan Aruch. The Rav Sharshim issue is you have Gimel Shanim. The question is, are these Gimel Shanim, right, able to overcome a kol which makes the Gimel Shanim of the Machzik suspect? Because it's still associated, in other words, you know, with the Mashkon and the Yisomim. Those could be two different things. Establishing Marakama and undermining Cheskas Gimel Shanim, those could be two different demons. Of course, the common denominator is what value, you know, going back to yesterday's discussion, you give to a call Mavurar, to a call, you know, that's established in Bezdin. Right? Let's say there are different levels of call. Is it a B plus? Is it a B minus? Is it an A? You know, is it an A minus? You know, of course. You know, that part of it, you know, is a common feature, whether we're talking about a call that's going to neutralize Cheskes Gimel Shanim, or a call that's going to establish Marakama, which then in turn requires that there be a Cheskes Gimel Shanim. But if we're talking about not the quality of the call only, you know, but the dynamic, then yesh makom lechalek for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, just the side of thinking that marakama is powerful and therefore you need less to establish it. So it's not like kind of catch-22.
Isn't that what? Catch-22? Well, look, you're saying, you know, it's only going to be powerful. Yeah. So, right, so I think there needs to be something. It can't just be the claim of it. You know. But maybe, like, you know, it's so, it's such a strong, like, association, previous ownership, you know. I could see it not being a catch-22.
Just
because
he says he's
gone. What?
Just because he says he's gone.
No. That's what I just said. He realized that. I said, if we were talking about, like, oh, you could just make the claim, you know, that would be a catch-22. We're not talking about that. We're talking about, do you need Edus Gemura that he was a bailim? Is it enough to have Edus Gemura, which most people think, you know, that he lived on the property, you know, Maxik Ba Purim Chazki Ba Inchi, that's level number two. Meaning, level number two, level number three, there's a kol, right, a kol mevurar, a kol that's so strong that, like, lokin or soklin, you know, ala chazakos, or, you know, it's a middle level kol, you know, bebezdin, or, you know, stamakol. Even stamakol is an association between you and this property, a previous association. Right. Now, obviously, the weaker you get.
But you wouldn't allow stamakol if you don't.
Right. So let's say kol mavur. I mean, kol mavura is soklinola. If you want to say the kol mavura, then the sivas. But it's still not eidos.
But aren't we saying that they'll allow kol mavura because they think more common is being powerful? But that itself, we don't know.
Kol mavura to be a kol mavura to be motzi mimarakama? Again, remember, we're talking about two different issues. In the Gemara, what we were talking about yesterday, we're talking about the ability of a kol, right, to neutralize kaskas gimel shama. Nothing to do with marakama. Not to establish marakama. Marakama is already established through some other way. Now we just want to know, marakama is established and therefore you need kaskas gimel shama. You have kaskas gimel shanim, but the kaskas gimel shanim is kind of tainted, right, by another kol. Right, a kol, this is just a continuation of the state. You know, this is Nichsei Yisomin, and it's, you know, the continuation of the state of Mashkuna. Okay. That's one issue. That's what the Rach, the Rajba, you know, the Rajbam, you know, the Rai. That's what all the Rishonim we talked about yesterday. They're talking about that case. The Nesivos happens to be quoting that. That's not what the discussion is in the poskim in the beginning of Siman Kuf. Now, their discussion is, how do we know he's a marakama such that you need Gimel Shanim? Gimel Shanim will work. But how do we know you need Gimel Shanim if he's not an established marakama? Oh. Here, there's also levels of rigor in establishing unequivocally that he's a marakama. So what you're saying is true. Namely, if he just says it, that's not going to do anything. That's totally... What, because he said it? Because it's powerful, therefore, just because he says it? I mean, you know, that's for sure doesn't seem correct. I would say even a kol bialma, you know, probably doesn't suffice for that. But let's say, does that mean you need edus, you know, shadar bo kibaylim, right, as opposed to, you know, a kol mavurar? Right? Or do you even need, you know, the more powerful you think it is, the higher threshold and rigor you need, even like Adis and Vilus? That, I think, is an open question. Okay? Sorry, it took so long. Okay. So that, one other thing before we go back to Virtual Star, and that is something we have to get back to anyway, and that is regarding Cheskas Gimel Shanim. We have to, like, you know, be like the Rambam, right? We have to kind of do the yin and the yang here, you know, the back and forth. So, yeah. So that same Ritva in the beginning of the Perek, right, in addition to all the other good things that he talks about there, the, you know, relationship between Raya's Chazaka, Kinyan Chazaka, you know, Hesse's question, a bunch of other things. So he also has, like, a very brief discussion about Cheskas Gimel Shanim in a particular case. Anybody catch on to that?
the very beginning?
Yeah. He has a very interesting little, you know, yeah.
Talks about the from Sibis, where the Markham doesn't have any Avim.
Not so much that, but what else? Noam?
When the Markham is Shema? Meaning he's a Yoresh or a...
No. We'll get that. That's a different question. That's a Taninan question, right? No, we'll get back to that also. What will happen? Eitan, you have it open? Let's say you have a Cheskas Gimel Shanim, but the Maksik is no longer on the Karka. Remember that? You have it? Go ahead. Yeah, meaning, and the truth is that you could think of that about, you know, two different scenarios here, because it's not really clear what the case is. Meaning it's in the hands of some other person. Let's assume for the moment we're talking about the Pashtus, and that's certainly the continuation. What are we talking about? The Marakama. Right? The Marakama got his, like, you know, very big friends, very strong friends, you know, to pay a visit to the Maksik. So what does he say about it? Okay, meaning as the Ra'az, you know, again, giving stamp of approval here. So this is a very interesting... So what do you think about it, Eita? In terms of everything that we've been discussing. I mean, the Ritva, the Ra'ah, are unequivocal that, you know, it doesn't matter in the end. But, again, are they saying more like for policy reasons? Like, you know, you're just going to encourage a strong-armed, you know, tactics? Or are they proving that, like, it's loy tachain, you know, in that case, strong-arm tactics would work? You know, it reminds us a little bit of another sugya that we, you know, a couple times touched on this year, but it's also a Cheskas Abatim sugya, although also a Balmetzia sugya, named, like, you know, the sugya of? Anybody?
Talk about Kahn.
Not so much. Yeah, I mean, Tokva Coin is a great example. Kol Dalam Gavar. But, you know, basically, Tokva Coin, too. Meaning, and a little bit like in our Lefikach discussions, which is where it came up also, you know, like what happens when there is, you know, Tfisa La'achar, you know, Leda Sasafek, right? We talked about in terms of the various views of Rishonim, you know, about that. Per se, and called Alam Gavar, right, and Tukva Kohen. Tukva Kohen is definitely appropriate. Yeah. So again, you have this, you know, Chazaka, and you have, you know, then the Marakama reasserting himself on the Karka. Okay. So again, in part, it's like, is the Ritva saying, like, you know, this is just, you know, policy wise, we won't allow it, although there's merit. It's one way to read the Ritva. I don't think that's what he means. Is he saying, you know, it just can't be, it's inconceivable, it's lo yitachein, you know, it's not, you know, doesn't cohere with the way the halakha sees things, and therefore it's got to be wrong. You know, now we have to figure out why. Like, but what is the issue from our point of view, in addition to the question of, you know, these kind of policy questions or side questions of like tfisa la'akar raya or something like that? There's another question, and that is, you know, again, you have this struggle between, you know, the Barakam and the Maksik. And one of the things that we've been discussing, you know, is to what extent, if the Maksik, you know, is to what extent what the Maksik, you know, establishes through his Cheskas Malashanim, you know, what is it? Is it virtual Shar? You know, like if there's no Hesis, you know, then, and it's ki'ilu yesh shtar biyado, then of course nobody else can come in. That's not a policy thing, or that's, you know, it's pretty much a no-brainer. So, or what? It's a riot studies, you know, like the Nasivas are saying, right? On the other hand, like, let's take the Nasivas for a second. Like, let's say there are two Cheskas Karkas, you know? I mean, again, like you said, talk for coin, or I was saying, called Alam Gabar. Like, what's the story in Metalkalit? A kind of a bit of a Nasgad Rababa kind of a case, you know, too. But again, I want to get away from the policy parts of it. What I'm trying to say is, the more you think Cheskas Gimel Shanim is a good Raya, either as a virtual star, or, you know, like the Chumash Rajba, you know, it just is, it's a strong Raya, or as Raya Tzadis, right? Or as, you know, establishing, you know, a decisive kind of mukzakos. The more all that is true, you know, the more there's not even anything to entertain in this Yesh Omrim or Yesh Chokin. However, you know, if it all remains a suffix, like the language of the Gemara and Chavches in the base, you know, and, you know, maybe not just a suffix, small suffix, you know, which allows for lahavis taito shabalabayis and ishvus heses, but, you know, kind of a bigger safek and more of a, like, listen, it's motzi mechaver ol avaraya. And maybe even a little bit less than a typical motzi mechaver ol avaraya. If it isn't more and it isn't equal, you know, maybe it's even less because it took you this, you know, amount of time, you know, to get there. Right. So maybe Cheskas Gimel Shanim, the way to look at it, the other way, the way to formulate it is, Cheskas Gimel Shanim, you know, is enough to be Machzik, but it's not enough to be Motzi. And now, assuming that you're not talking about, like, the equivalent of Tfisa Lacha Leidus HaSafek, you know, you really want to be Motzi. And again, it's hard to say Tfisa Lacha Leidus HaSafek, you know, when the Marakama, you know, is the toe face, you know, and he's just, you know, kind of manifesting physically, you know, what he's always been claiming is true legally. I'm not even sure if that's fully Tfisa Lacha. It's physical Tfisa Lacha Leidus HaSafek, right? But it's not, you know, classical, because he would have won until now, which is a little different. That's why I say this more comparable to some of the, like, Kol D'Alem Gavar type things, and even then, you could be Machal. So I think that alongside the Hesses question, the, you know, the Cole question, you know, some of the other questions, you know, this also becomes a question of testing the basis for the victory of Cheskas Gimel Shanim, and also the level of certainty, you know, and you know, and whether it's kind of more like a status quo thing, and some of the chilukim that we, you know, have seen, there might, you could have said in theory, you know, for nesivas, you know, that rufa depends on which Cheskas Gimel Shanim you're talking about, or some of the other chilukim as well. Yeah, no.
In theory, even if Cheskas Gimel Shanim was, let's say, a bear or a virtual star, you could still invoke a kind of an ein omrin migo lehotzi paradigm, that even when you have a raya,
yeah,
certain times it only works
if it really is lahotzi enough, but by virtue of that. True. That's what I meant by machzik and being motzi. But, you know, when you say machzik motzi from a physical point of view, for sure, like, you know, leave it alone, shebel tasa adif, you know, machzik and motzi in terms of, like, in more of a legal idea, like, whose rishus really is it in, you know, it still depends on some of those other questions, but 100%. And as you're saying, migu is a birur, it's still not motzi, but is this that same kind of motzi? It's almost like, you know, cases like where, again, you know, you're being machzik the shtar to be motzi the mamon, you know, through the migu, you know, it's like those in-between cases a little bit, those gray areas. Okay, let's get back now to virtual shtar. Okay. Virtual shtar. So as we discussed, the Rashbam And the Ra have this idea of virtual shah. They're very committed to it. There are other Rashbams. Yehuda brought to my attention yesterday that even the language of the Rashbam on Chav Tes Amud Beis, right? In what context? That's Ba Machmas. Yeah, Ba Machmas Gazlan. So even there, the language of the Rashbam is like very. It's not Mukhrak, right? But once you know the Rashbam's, like, inclination. You have the line there, Yehuda? That once you know the Rashbam's inclinations, you know, in these in this issue, all things being equal. Now, again, I don't think it's always consistent because there are some Gemaras where it doesn't fit in so well. And the idea that, you know, the Gemara itself might have different perspectives on what Kaskatskim Lashonim is about, you know, just like there was in a Ahol Keyusha, there was a Rava Kamaisa, there is a Rava Basraisa, you know, there, you know, could be other Gemaras that fit in better in different models. You know, just like, you know, we're seeing that, the Rishonim clearly saw it. And therefore, like, you know, if the Rashbam doesn't say it anywhere and everywhere that he could, you know, I don't think that's a problem. But I do think that a pattern of saying it, you know, especially when you don't need to, and kol shekein, when you say that it's mechudash, you know, like Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph, and a little less so, but also very telling on Nun Zayin Amud Aleph, you know, those I think really show, you know, the personal, you know, inclination, and that's the example that you brought also. I thought was like that. You have the line where it says.
Yeah.
Right, so it could just be that he's saying it's not better, you know, than his initial claim, which is that he bought the property and that he had a shahr. Right, that wouldn't work here. So, but again, he doesn't need to bring it in at all, frankly. So I think again, the gratuitous places where he just likes it because he thinks it's likely, predominantly, you know, the truth, is important, you know, for the Rashbam. Okay, so. Yeah, so we'll see some others as we go forward. I want to spend a couple of minutes on, like, how else can you... We said, like, what's the makor for this idea? So I think there are three makoros. One is logic, you know, and an understanding of his Dorinish Bishtore in a positive way, as we discussed. Right? The Ksosas Rayas, but not his explanation. You know, the formulation... maybe out of context of meaning, but, you know, again, which was a, like Katan, you know, in Ramban, first day in Mendei Samen Aleph, the Rach and the Rashbam, you know, in terms of Kol, Mecha'a, you know, etc. So I think that's one source. A second source is the Gemara here on Laman of an Aleph, which is very explicit. Although, as I say, if you pause and you think, you know, the idea that you would, you know, take that to be like consequential as a formulation and as a shita, is unless there was other, like, you know, basis for it, you know, would be tamua, because the Gemara here is going in the other direction. The Gemara is basically saying, not a kula, you know, in koach hachazaka, you know, but a chumrah, you know, in even shtar. Like, you're not going to do better than shtar. The whole fantasy is that you had a shtar. You know, a shtar, you know, is vulnerable, you know, to the claim, you know, that it needs to be reinforced. So why wouldn't you, you know, take its pale substitute, not substitute in the sense of that's what the chazaka does. It's pale replacement. Instead of calling it a substitute, we'll call it a replacement. Meaning the thing that you are going to use in absence of it, as opposed to a substitute, we'll use a language for the moment, that it's a virtual shtar. All right? And this, again, that's an arbitrary use of language, but we'll just use it that way for now. Connotation-wise, it makes sense. But, okay. So, yeah, so I think, again, you know, if the Rashbam you know, what the Rashbam says about Hesses, you know, where he's using it, you know, about the strength of Chazaka. In light of that, you know, his, you know, formulation on Lamed Amud Aleph, and understanding that that's kind of what the Gemara meant, because it's true. So, you know, if it's true, you know, then you might as well give the, you know, the Parshanut without the qualification of the Kol Shekein. Okay. Okay. So that's as far as the Rashbam is concerned. And I think the third, you know, Makar may very well have been, or may work out well to be, there may be more, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, which we're going to turn to in a couple of minutes, so I guess we're going to have to finish soon. So, well, Thursday, 1 o'clock, right? We'll try to do a double shear, two short shear, I guess. But Sanhedrin Chav Gimel Amud Beis, you know, the idea of there the Gemara has a Bali Dom B'Shtar U'B'Chazak. It's just a fascinating Gemara anyway, so we want to spend a couple of minutes on that. You know, here in Bav Basra and in Sanhedrin. Tzarech L'Barer, it's an interesting topic, right? But the Gemara has the line there, Stephen, that?
It says,
that maybe it should be Mechalek.
The Edim, Lav Mikoch, Edim Achrini Kasu, says that Chazak is Mikoch Shtar.
Because the case there is what? Where the guy says, I have two Kite Edim that will support my claim.
Yeah.
Right? And then the question is he obligated
to bring both?
To bring both, or, you know,
okay,
whatever. Right, exactly. So we'll get back to that exactly. So the Gemara says, listen, that Tzarech L'Barer is not necessarily the same as the Rebbe and Rav Shimon Gamliel, you know, question. Because again, you said the first line, we'll just repeat it again. Because when it comes to Eidos, it's what?
Yeah, first is Chazaka Mikoach Shtarek Asi, but Eidim, La Mikoach Eidim Achrinim Kasir.
Right, each Eidim are completely independent. It's an interesting phenomenon. I mean, you know, on the one hand, yeah, you could say, well, I mean, it could go either direction, right? On the one hand, you could say, Edim and Edim is just more of the same, right? Not only that, but you might want to say, what? Yonatan? About Edim and Edim? Say again?
You might say that, nonetheless, there's...
No, I'm saying on the side of downgrading it, let's say, like, you know, it ain't Tzarech L'Barer, right? Number one, it's just more of the same. You had two, you know, you have four. Number two, in downgrading its significance. Something we've talked about.
The idea of working better than starting
with Aedus. Not so much that. But again, I'm talking about on the Aedus side for a moment. Trey Kamea. Meaning, it's not just that it's more of the same, you know, it's a quantitative increase. It's even a question whether the quantitative increase does anything for you. Right? Because we say trekameya. I mean, if you have two Edom and you have 100 Edom against them, the 100 are not more powerful than the two. Right? So, in addition to, like, you know, yawning, you know, more Edom, you know. Like, you know, and Alpidin, you know, does it even register? Maybe there's something called, there's Eidos here. So is there even Eidos plus? I mean, there are Eidim plus. Is there Eidos plus or Kat plus? Or every Kat is a Kat. Anyway, I don't want to get to that now. We'll talk about it a little more. Right? Since it's in the city there. Very interesting. You know, that's the Ramban a little bit. It's, you know, tempered by the other Ramban. But Ramban in Shoftim about, you know, Al Pishnaim Shlosha Edim, you know, what's the Shlosha? Okay, if you get a chance to look at it. But the, as opposed to, you know, the, you know, the Shtar and the Chazaka, you know, that's, those are two different things. On the other hand, as the Gemara itself notes, what Stephen was really citing, that, you know, at least when it comes to the Edim, each Kat, you know, is independent. So while you have to deal with the two questions that we discussed before, namely, is quantity, you know, tzorach levarer, and is there even al pidin, do we even care about quantity at all? Does it even register? Is there a chalos? Correct? Mm-hmm. But at least you could say, well, this one works alone and that one works alone. They have nothing to do also with each other. Right? Two independent kitei eved. But the chazaka, says the Gemara, and the shtar are interconnected. Why? What's the language?
Mikoach shtar kasi.
Because the chazaka is mikoach shtar kasi. So that, when you read it, like, you know, that seems like a big statement. Then when you think about it, right, you realize that it could mean something very, very innocuous. Namely?
That the Zariah for...
Yeah, meaning in the end of the day, you don't win because you were moxic. You could be moxic for a zillion years. You know, and as long as you don't have a taina that you were a konef, you know, you're going to be thrown off your squatter, and you're going to be thrown off. You know, everybody always says, like, you know, possession in the house is 9/10 of the law, or whatever they say. And they says, oh, kaskas kibushan. That's not true, right? Because it's not, you know, possession per se. It's the raya, you know, that possession, you know, supports your taina, you know, of Kenya. Possession itself has no impact. That's how the Gemara tells the story, and the Rambam quotes it. You know, the poor woman, you know. I feel badly for that. You know, think about it. Whatever. But, well, I guess, you know, Yikov HaDin HaSahar, what can you do? So in the end of the day, you know, the Chazaka and the Shtar, you know, while they look like two independent sources, in the end, one is a Raya and the other is a Kenyan. Or the other... You know, is the effect of the chazaka, put it this way, is all contingent upon the claim, you know, of shtar or something parallel to it. So there are two ways to read the Gemara. The more you read the Gemara in the fundamental way, you know, the more different it really is. That's if you want to say, oh, the real pshat is a chazaka, you know, is a virtual shtar. I mean, based on the chazaka, we project not only that there might have been a shtar, or we should believe in that there was a shtar, right? But the chazaka, you know, gives him the zchuyos, you know, gives him the power of somebody who's holding a shtar. You know, then the Gemara is like capturing it amazing. Meaning, you have the option of producing the shtar or the chazaka. You know, of course you have to produce, you know, tzorach levarer, you know, the shtar. Because even the chazaka is about a virtual shtar. Can't, you know, you're going to produce the virtual shtar, not the shtar, when you claim that you had access to it? Right? But you don't have to read the Gemara that way. You can say, oh, it's a powerful, you know, formulation, but it has a pragmatic meaning. All it really, really means... is that the chazaka, you know, doesn't have independent value. It's a raya. The shtar, and it's not even an independent raya as a raya, it's a raya that there was a shtar, or its equivalent. Whereas the shtar is a raya. It's not a raya that is a raya, or there's a raya that's a kinyan. Right? It's the raya sa kinyan, or the kinyan. That's what the Gemara means. Oh. So... yeah. So the point is that if you look at all the sugyas, it's like when the Rishonim say, "Oh, don't worry about his darinish bishtare," you know that's not the point. The point is just like to neutralize the reyesa, right? So the point is, anybody who doesn't hold like the Rashbam and who doesn't hold like the Ra'ah is not going to have trouble with any of these Gemaras. Right? But if you do hold that way, there are these several Gemaras, you know, that, you know, become like supercharged in their meaning and significance, and of course are nafkaminas in the actual like halakha itself. Okay. So let's talk about Rabbeinu Yonah just for a minute. So Rabbeinu Yonah went out of his way on Lamed Aleph to kind of neutralize the Gemara. Not the only one, but I thought his formulations are also just very interesting. And he has two formulations. Stephen, go ahead.
He says, Hacha milo yehe el dnaket shtara, milo amrinan lai kayem shtara chavakum benetzech, tzrichan lefarish, ma tshuva hu meishav al direi rava, dechashiv lei lahaim mochsak, kevin de achla shnei chazaka. Ma sh'in kein b'man dnaket shtara, v'lo miskayim b'chosmav, v'lo achla nami shnei chazaka.
So what is he saying so far?
He's
bothered by the he's bothered by this comment in the Gemara. What's he saying? He's saying in the case of Kazaka, the Gemara says, "Oh, you know, it's not less than, it's not more than Shtar." So Ben Yonah starts off by saying, "It is more than Shtar." Why? Because here we're talking about Muxakus. Right? He claims he has Muxakus. In the case of Shtar, he has a Shtar which is not Mekuyam. So he doesn't really have a Shtar. Right? Okay. So this starts off with the assumption that there is zero Kesher, you know, between these two things. A. B, you know, that there's no Kol Shekein either, since there is Mukzakus, perhaps Beli Rayas Mukzakus, but maybe Beli Kiyum Chosomos of a Shtar, maybe there's no Shtar. So he's saying two things. Number one, it's not like Chazaka works Midin. He's not saying this, but it's implicit. Chazaka isn't Midin virtual Shtar. Chazaka is Chazaka. Right? And number two, I can give you a good, you know, rationale why you need to support a shtar more than you need to support a chazaka. Okay. That's very interesting. That part of it is very unique. That question, you know, and now having said that, you can understand a little bit more why, even in his two explanations, neither of which is going to embrace virtual shtar, right? Like the Rashbam does. But still, he doesn't have like the easy, you know, the easiest answers, which would have been Shtar is more powerful than Chazaka. You know, a challenged Shtar needs to be supported, a challenged Chazaka needs to be supported. There's a straight out linear hierarchy, you know, which applies here. Instead of saying that, what does he say? The Eish Lefaresh. Okay. Meaning this, is it just me, or this is like... But now I think we understand it a little bit more. Meaning, what he could have just said was, what I said a second ago, which is... A shtar is more powerful than a chazaka, right? So if you need kiyum shtar, then you need rayas chazaka. But since he already asked the question the way he asked it, which is, you know what? There is no linear hierarchy necessarily, because, you know, if there's a physical mukzakus, you know, then maybe on an equivalent level, that's stronger, you know, than a chasima, you know, challenged, you know, shtar. Meaning, when shtar works, shtar is more powerful than chazaka, no question, right? But that doesn't mean that the challenge to a shtar is therefore, you know, less problematic than the challenge to a chazaka, because maybe the physical chazaka is there, and the question is like, you know, to prove all the details of it. And in the shtar, you just don't have anything until you have the shtar. So now the answer is going to be, number one, the shtar, you know, even when it's challenged, is not nothing. right? Because min haTorah, edim asum l'ashar k'mishum nas k'mishum echorei dusim bebezdin. So even midrabanan, I can say, okay, fine, but still midrabanan, the need for kiyum chasamos renders it nothing. So it's still less, you know, in the equivalent. That's where the Rabbeinu Yonah came up with this really interesting idea, which is that somehow, even then he could have just said, oh, well, the shtar, you know, the daraisa is the ikar. The rabbana is a chiyuv, you know, chiyuv. We'll talk about it more next year. Right? But that's not what he's saying. He wants you to know, not only is the shtar's daraisa status, you know, significant, but the shtar's daraisa status is significant and gives you a kind of mukhzakus on the karka. Because you're not going to win without the kiyum chosamos. He's saying, but, and that, you know, and therefore, you're still like in a pickle in terms of the question, because here you have a chazaka, here you have nothing. You have a shtar that's still not going to win. Right? Lemaisa. So since befoal, it's still not going to win, you know, maybe chazaka, you know, the details of which are, you know, murky, but there still is a kind of a chazaka. Maybe that's still stronger. By the way, that's an assumption, too. You could have said that a murky chazaka is no chazaka at all, because part of the nature of what chazaka is, not simply the maisa being in the karka, gimel shanim, and then, oh, does it also pass muster in terms of haraz bailus, but it's all haraz bailus, you know, and therefore the murkiness makes it nothing. But okay, that's not enough. So what the chiddush of Rabbeinu Yonah's formulation because of all this is to say that when you have a shtar which is not a winner, you can't win with it without being mekayim chosamos. Because of the doraisa, it gives you mukzakus on the karka. It doesn't win you the karka, but it also gives you mukzakus on the karka. Holding a shtar gives you mukzakus on the karka. That's what you say. Right? Read the language again.
Yosef mukzak b'mesher yard l'sadazo b'shtar zo.
If you go down now, like on the basis of the shtar, you know, you make your claim, you're not there 3 years. You're there 1 minute. Or I don't know if you need to be there at all, frankly. The equivalent of mukzakos that you have in Gimel Shanim with a murky mukzakos, you have greater mukzakos, right, with the shtar doraisa, even though you can't win, but as mukzakos. That's what he's saying. Correct?
Is that only because...
And yet it's not enough. And therefore you... Huadin, Kol Shekein. In other words, what the Rabbeinu Yonah did was he transformed, you know, the shtar question, you know, shtar b'li chosamos, he transformed it into a comparable mukzakos question, which is shocking. Except I think I understand exactly why he did it. That's what I'm trying to explain. Right? Yosor mukzak b'metcha yar l'sad azu b'shtar zem imi she'yisak gimel shonim lo shtar ve'in sham edim shahaya hama'arim o b'medina. Meaning it's murky whether it's consequential. A 3 year murky, you know, chazaka is less than a, you know, claim which gives you mukzakos based on the shtar, which is a dayin, or maybe forever, you know, b'li kiyu. That's what he's saying. Afilo hachi, chashir abanu l'ziyufa, v'yaminan kayim shtarcha, even though you're mukzakos, whether it's the 1 minute or you don't need that at all, I'm not sure about that. But still, it's not enough. Afal pi shekvar yarad l'sada. That's, I don't know, does he mean that's the case, or does he mean, you know, even if that also happened? like, you know, an additional kol shekin. Not sure. Doesn't really matter so much. Motzi in asasada mitachas yado had she kayim asashtar. From a muchzakus point of view, we say. V'lo chashvin alei muchzak, keep repeating it, v'mesha yorad l'sada, v'shtar zeh, k'dei shehe al harishon l'havi raya l'psal ashtar. Say, no, 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 he's the muchzak. Let the other guy prove. Okay, you want to win as a decisive winner? You have to be mekayim your shtar. But why can't you win with a non-mekuyim shtar as having the equivalent of cheskas gimel shanim in the 1 minute that you're yoreid the Torah shtar? Wow. Elaminan karka b'cheskas bala. Go ahead.
So
the Hakanami gets underlined, meaning Elamina Karka Bechaskas Balea Omedes. Right? So Hakanami, Amrinan Zilbror Achilascha? In one case, you have Gimul Shnei Chazaka Besafek. In the other case, you have Ashtar Sheina Mekuyam, and maybe you read the, you know, the Lasada for 5 minutes? Right? That's what he says. Okay, it's not virtual shtar by any means. I'm not saying virtual shtar. On the contrary, he's actually saying that shtar, she'ena mekuyam, should be like a virtual chazaka, a virtual cheskas gimel shanim that is murky. Quite amazing. Okay. But again, it starts off with a certain question, like, you know, how do you know on a drabanan, you know, once you have the requirement of kiyum kosamos, you know, how do you know that a murky chazaka is less than a, you know, than a zero chazaka with an impotent, you know, shtar, albeit drabanan? The answer is the doraisa should be good enough to create the equivalent of a muxakos. Again, if you think Gemel Shanim actually really creates a muxakos, right? Or that shtar creates a virtual, I'm sorry, that muxakos creates a virtual shtar, either of those things, you can't talk this way. But he doesn't. Or maybe Yoda doesn't. Okay. Odesh Lefarish, sorry. We're just going to get through this.
Ready?
Yeah.
It kind of sounds like a catch 22, because in order for us to give the shtar,
that's like Gaitan's
it's for us to give the shtar the power of a shtar to give muksakas like karka, we need to know that's actually shtar.
Yeah, but I mean, in the end of the day, doraisa, it is an effect. It is. We do say it also muchar naskim shnekar
nisimadevs.
I mean, the truth is that itself, going back to our discussion about a month ago, you know, we were talking about Shtar Kabiyad my boy and those kind of things in Mizuya. That in itself, it does include a bit of catch 22.
Yeah.
No question. But it's not, I mean, everybody will agree that Doraisa, Eimatsum al Sharnasim Mishnakar Dusim Bebezin. So to say, you know, that can't count at all, you know, I mean, just because it can't win, you know, therefore that means it's zero. Like, that's a question. That's something to discuss in that topic. You know, the Drabanan came along and they said, you know, you need Kiyum Chosamos. Did the Rabanan come along and say, you can't win without Kiyum Chosamos? Or did they say, without Kiyum Chosamos, the Shtar is a Kasp of the Alba? Right? Or did they, you know, right? Or the gradations between them. That Rabbeinu Yonah is taking like a big stand on that question. He's also taking the stand about murky muxakos. It's a nice alliteration, right? Murky muxakos. And, yeah. Odesh lefaresh.
Odesh lefaresh. Lo yehelo dinakit.
You have Lee?
Yeah.
Nice. What is that? Oh, the real one. The, I have Odesh lefaresh. Are the other words so far correct? The same?
There are a couple of,
but anything dramatic? Anything important? Because it's like the formulations here are really. I saw it in the other one too. The other one I have at home, and I thought it was the same. But
I think one said yard the sada, and this says yard the socha, maybe.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Odesh lefaresh.
Odesh lefaresh. Lo yehe ela dinakit shtara.
Klomar. Again, anybody who says klomar is on the defensive, right? Meaning like trying to explain something that's not obvious.
We're
saying what?
That being there for 3 years.
Now he's saying something really interesting and important, right? A murky chazaka, he's saying. Why would a murky chazaka be effective? Right? The answer is because it would eat more easier to say because it would extend the time period, all things being equal, you know, of neutralizing the reyesa of achvishtarek. Correct? Oh. Mishum dekivin de'achzik im l'shanim ein alav pshia ba'avedas hashtar. That's like neutralizing the reyesa. That would be the rationale. Why? The famous, go ahead. The famous slash.
The famous slash name lo mizdar b'shtare. Lo yehe al zinakit shtara. Halo mi sheyesh shtar b'yado harei nizhar v'lo pasha b'klum.
So a guy who has a shtar, he has no reyesa. Even if there's no kiyum. But filohachi.
Filohachi lo amri am kevin v'lo pasha yizkeh b'zah.
You don't just win if you don't have a reyesa. In order to win, right, you need what?
Yeah.
You need some sort of proof. You need something to win. You don't need to just neutralize the negatives against you. Is that true? Not really, according to the Ritvan Chavtes of Aleph. Not really, according to the Ramban. Right? For them, actually. Well, okay, I mean, again, you know, it's like the Rishonim. It's like, Where's the kinyan? The answer is the kinyan is the tfisas metaltalin, the equivalent. Or the kinyan is the shtika, you know, from the first minute. Right? But the Rabbeinu Yonah doesn't hold that way. What does Rabbeinu Yonah hold?
It's
the rise from shtika of Gimel Shanim, and not only that, even Gimel Shanim wouldn't have been enough if not for the added acuity of you know the timing of your claim, which adds even more to your shtika. Correct? So now he's Lashitaso and he's going to tell you that. He's saying, oh, but this, again, this is a totally different, you know, you could have said, you know, you can't do better than if you had a shtar, and if you had a shtar, you have to support it, so you have to support this too. He doesn't like that. He just thinks, no, if it's real mukzakus. So he came up the second pshat here. The first pshat is this idea that a shtar b'likium still has, you know, the equivalent of mukzakus on the karka. And then this pshat is, if you're going to say that his dar inish and gimel shanim is neutralizing a reyesa, and that's all you need, then when you have a shtar and it's not mukuyim, you also haven't done anything wrong. A little bit of a strange idea. Because there, you know, what's the basis? Here you could say it's tvisa. Okay, maybe they could tvisa miyad. That would be the alternative. But since the idea is shtika, and shtika requires a big investment, shtika to be a riot sub. Let's keep going. You're missing the raya. Even though you have don't have the reyesa against you, but where's the sword? Where's your power coming from? Hilkach.
Hilkach kaim shtarcha v'kum b'nechsech.
Huh? Hachanami.
Hachanami, afal pi shalom pasha, tzorach lovi raya, shesad zu shalom. V'may raya, d'may si sadi, shachay hazeh imo b'medina, v'chay lo limchos lo micha. Shezo guf haraya
v'chazaka. Zehu, you have guf?
Guf haraya.
Oh, interesting. Okay, I have here, ikar raya. It doesn't make a difference. It's, I wonder where they got it from, but. Ikaraya, okay, or Gufraya.
Gufraya de Chazaka.
Kimo Shekasavnu Lamala, right? I mean, this is exactly what he wrote. He was like a very extreme, you know, he and the Rajba, right? Be'inyan Hadaminan, go ahead. Even in Rabba Basraisa, right? Hilkach. Here's where he's saying that murky Chazaka, right, is, well, that's the answer of the Gemara. The Havamina was a murky chazaka is a chazaka. You know, because at least, you know, from his point of view, it excuses ach vishtarech. So the Gemara says, no, that's not how Cheskas Gemal Shanim works. I mean, that's good for the shock of Tari of the Gemara, according to Ben Yonah. Right? It doesn't work that way. It works midin Rayat Stadis. And the Gemal Shanim is part of the Rayat Stadis. Right? Just like in Shtar, you need the positive proof. Here you need a positive proof. So murky chazaka is not a reyasa. But a murky chazaka is also not a raya. Because if it's murky, right, then the shtikas ha-ma'arer is understandable. Keep going.
Sharei lo hutla hamecha al ha-ma'arer.
Al ha.
I have ha-ma'arer.
Lo hutla hamecha. Yeah, you're right. I have al ha-machzik. That doesn't make any sense. Okay.
Yeah.
Elim kain.
Elim kain haya imo v'medina. Kain nera be'inai. V'atama zer bor v'chazak.
Yeah. Meaning, as the Rav used to say, right? I've said well. Yeah. The Rav Eliyahu is saying, my pshat is good. Good. All right. So, these are two explanations of the Gemara, of the equation, two alternative explanations of the relationship between Chazaka and Shtar, neither of which has any shemets of, sorry, we'll do Shabbat. Any shemets of a relationship to what? Virtual shtar, right? But even more than that, but which also, and I'll speak this a little bit more about this on Thursday, before we move on to, Hanidam b'shtar b'chazaka, like I said, both have chidushim. The second one, of course, you know, ends up being that the Shaka Bataria here in Lamed is Gufa, you know, parallel to the discussion of Rishonim about how Keskas Gimel Shonim, you know, works. And the first Pshat, as I say, you know, also reflects, you know, the possibility that, you know, that Shtar, even a Shtar Shenim Makuyim, which can't win, you know, is something which contributes to Chazak. I want to talk about that just a little bit more. Even though, ironically, it's not virtual shtar at all, you know, but in a way it reinforces a little bit what we've been discussing about, like, how you can establish a Chazaka in Karka, you know, and through association, you know, or the perception that you're the Bialin, as opposed to the physical. Because if, let me say this right, if Chazaka a Gimel Shanim, or Chazaka in Karka had anything to do with the physical part of it, or it was primarily about physical presence per se, then holding on to a shtar or having a shtar, Shena Makuya, and even being Yoreid Lasadeh for 5 minutes, you know, that's a substitute that's better than, you know, Gimel Shanim in the Karka, right? But if it's all about creating a Mokzakos through Raya, not through an elongated Tvisa, then this is very possible. And it makes you wonder a little bit whether or not the limitation of Shtar to Karka, even in Kinyanim, isn't connected a little bit to the fact that, you know, Kinyanim, transactions, things having to do with Karka are much more about, again, the associations, because they can't be, you know, about the physical cheftza as they are in Metalkalin. You know, whether it isn't part of that same story too. So a little more on Rabbeinu Yonah, and then I want to talk about the Nidon B'Shtar, and also look at the Rambams in Nidon B'Shtar B'Chazaka. If you get a chance, look at the Rif also, just in the end of, the Rif in the last parak, and some testifying. And, you know, the Rajbam and Tosfos Seder Center, but also the Rambams in Tesvav Aleph, Agos Mamunios, the Magid Mishnah, the Mishnah Malach, Perik Vav, what is it, Halacha Hey, and Perik Yud Beis, Halacha, what is it, Tes? No, I'm sorry. No. Perek Yud Beis, Halacha Yud Beis, I think. Yud Dalad Yud Beis. Yud Dalad Yud Beis? Yeah. And the Tosefta that seems to be the Makar, for that day. All right? In Shtar B'Chazak. And then we'll talk a little more.